What happens when a United States Marine says, no, I can't do that. What's going on, everybody? I can't say, actually, because he's not here anymore. So I can't say that. I sound stupid saying it now. But what's going on, everybody? It's That Ordinary Podcast with the Extraordinary Thoughts that tells you to stop being great and be extraordinary. I'm Demetrius Thigpen, also known as Meech Speaks, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Crazy. Today's guest, all right, this is a good friend of mine. Just to give you a little background, all right, I initially had saw this person and I was just like, oh my God, like, you know, this person seems so cool. And like, they were like this big Instagram influencer, you know what I mean? And I reached out to them and they reached back and I was like, oh shoot, well, let's set up an episode. And as we were setting up the episode, like, we sit down, we hop on a call. I initially do not like this person. Okay. I forget what they said, but they said something. I just wrote on my notebook. I was like, not happening. Who would have known that I would actually foster a real live friendship with this person? I've had coffee with this person. I've shared my anxieties with this person. We've shared stories with each other. And this person has actually became a real big piece within my life, especially as I transition into becoming a military influencer myself. I remember when the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps recognized me out of nowhere, this person was the first one that I called and was just like all giddy about it. Like, I literally have to share that with that person. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it warms my heart and it feels, and what's that word? I feel proud to call this person a friend. But also, ladies and gentlemen, you have probably seen her. Give it up for Cassie Pierre. Hey.
I didn't know you were going to leave me something else. That was an amazing intro. I'm over here giggling, blushing.
Oh, my God. But we're friends.
I was like, yes. Yes, we're like besties at this point.
Yeah.
Honestly, I feel like you know so much about me now.
Yeah, dude. Like, I remember when I first reached out to you, I was just like, oh, my God, man. Like, this person would be a great fit for my show. Like, I just loved what you were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember we sat down, right? And we were having a call. And I don't know. I forgot what you said. But you said something. And I literally, like, crossed it. I wrote it. I was like, absolutely not. No interview.
Oh, my God.
And I just underlined it, dude. Like, I just kept underlining it.
That hurts my heart because I know that phone call ended with us being like, yes, we're going to do this.
Yeah, and what's so crazy is that we actually found out we had so much in common. I was just I wrote up under it. I was like this, possible friend.
Yes, turned bestie.
Turned bestie.
Meech hit over 10K and I'm still here. Okay.
You know, a lot of people don't know that is that like before I hit 10K, like I think this was probably around when I was like at 7. I think I was like 7 or 8. You know what I mean?
You're still a big deal.
I was a big deal, but then I became a big deal.
Oh yeah, I remember we were sitting for coffee and you're just like, just want to let you know, this is it. I hit 10K. From now on, you have to make an interview, you have to make an appointment with me. I was like, this boy.
The price is up now. You know,
I know.
Like, you gotta book an appointment.
You're the real deal. You're the real deal now. Here we are.
That's how crazy. Have you been?
You know, I'm here going through the motion. Holidays about to hit.
Yeah.
You know, work slowed down. I think everybody here knows that, like, if I've been making it known that I take photos for Officer Candidate School. And I like took over their social media. And this is like, I just gotta say this because it's kind of crazy how I got that position. But like, Officer Candidate School, the boot camp for officers, for most people who don't know, they don't rate a Comstrat Marine, which blows my mind because they're like a boot camp. So like the MCRD San Diego, MCRD Paris Island, they have like a whole Comstrat social media team. And at OCS, we didn't rate one. So when we lost our photographer, the bullet came up and I'm sure we're going to get into this, but I came back from being TAD dealing with some personal stuff and the billet was up and I volunteered to take it and they gave it to me. I'm very grateful. So now I'm loving it. It's a passion of mine now. I've learned a lot about photography. I learned a lot about social networking, and it's put me in a better place mentally at work, as a Marine, and I love the people that I work with. I'm in one of the most supportive units I've ever been in, and it's good. So like, we're not in cycle right now, so we're all post cycle. We're with our families and our friends, and prepping for the holidays. So like, lately life has been slow, which has been great.
I love that for you. I love that for
Thank
you.
you. Thank
You
you.
know, the holiday season is definitely upon us. My least favorite holiday is literally coming up. So there's that part of the day. I'm not a
Cool.
Christmas person. I'm not even about to lie to you.
Well,
No, I don't care. Like, I don't
I
care.
can understand that. I think I can feel that in a sense. I'm a mom,
Yeah.
so I feel the responsibility to create Christmas spirit for my kids. So
Yes.
like, there are days where I'm just like, no, I'm like so dumb. Like, I don't want to do nothing. I'd be really content, like just closing my curtains, calling it a night, and putting on Netflix,
Dude, and that's the
But
thing, man. It's like I'm like my kids believe in Santa, so I've obviously I have this responsibility to uphold this. And it just doesn't sit well with me that here is like, I don't know, like 2 months worth of my check up under this Christmas tree and they're thanking somebody else. And I'm
I
just
know,
like, this
I
is
know.
crazy. This is
And
wild.
here's our stocking, like completely empty, right?
This is
Because we're
our
like,
stocking sitting there like this, and it's just like, wow, man, like, damn, I guess Santa missed
Oh,
me again. He missed me again.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that so much.
You know,
That's funny.
but tell me a little bit, tell us a little bit about yourself,
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, I'll apologize a little bit if you hear my cat in the background. I do have a black cat, so if you
Really,
hear
a
that,
Bombay?
you do. Yeah. Super dark green eyes. It rings a bell. And he is my favorite thing ever, but I apologize. So, okay. Well, my name is Cassie, and I'm a staff sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. I'm a single mom and stationed in Quantico, Virginia. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old. My recruiter became a father figure to me, and to this day, like, I still keep in contact with that man. I actually went to
Really?
his retirement this year. Yeah,
You know,
he's
it's crazy.
great.
You know what's so crazy about that is that everybody always sits back and says how much they hate their recruiters. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
no, my recruiter, and I hope this gives you like some hope for
Yeah.
the future, but like my recruiter, he was Staff Sergeant Davis at the time. He retired Master Sergeant Davis, and he
Yeah.
was a career recruiter, so he stayed in the recruiting field. But that man became family to me because I actually like grew up in a very broken home, and like it not even to go into like super detail, but like my little brother, sister in and out of foster care, and I escaped and I ran to join the military. And I was looking at all different branches. The Marine Corps caught my eye, just like it catches most Marines' eyes. And I saw family and I saw a sense of belonging. And that's what I wanted, And my recruiter, he swooped me up and he became a father figure to me when I didn't have one. So that was very big for me. Because there were days where I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have a place to go home to. And like he like my recruiting team was there for me. And I'll never forget that to this day, I swear. But yeah, to this day, I'm 28 years old. I've been in the Marine Corps for over 10 years now. And now Master Sergeant Davis retired, Master Sergeant Davis this year. He's still in my life, and I'm so grateful for that man. But yeah, I went to his retirement ceremony.
I
So
love
for
that.
all any recruiters that are listening, I promise, like, you make a difference in
Yo,
at least one person's life.
I'm gonna put like my name at least across this clip because if I upload this, I know for a fact like recruiters are gonna be taking this nonstop and just
Please
using it. And I'm just like, y'all not about to
copyright
eat off me. Y'all not about to
it.
eat off me.
Yeah, you're right. But No, seriously, like so currently, not to like jump the hoop or anything, but I'm currently in the process of a med board. I will be getting ready to medically separate soon. But if I wasn't gonna med board, I would have gone recruiting just
Really?
because, yeah, everybody is so surprised by that too. I've heard people like say like, oh, Pierre, like, are you gonna be a hat? Like, are you gonna do this? And no, I would not be a hat. I have so much respect for them, but I've seen the behind the scenes and I just don't have the,
I'm
that's just
good,
not my,
dude.
that's not
I'm
my
good.
vibe. And I honestly I like to speak to people. I like to reach out to the younger generation and I want to influence people, you know? So yeah, no, I have the utmost respect for recruiters, especially because the recruiter in my life drastically changed my life and I don't know where I would be without him. So eternally grateful.
You know what's so crazy? Oh, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
No, go. Shoot.
You know what's so crazy is that one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to be a recruiter was the simple fact that I felt like my recruiter saved my life. You know what I mean? He saved it and he helped change it for the better. And like everybody always is like, oh, I want to be a drill instructor. And I'm like, call me crazy, bro, but I like the little hair that I have left on my head. You know what I mean? Like I feel like if I shave this shit off, it's not gonna grow back the way that it's supposed to. And I already have a big forehead. You know what I mean? Like
And you're like, no.
I'm already fighting them battles. You know what I mean? Those are already battles I'm fighting, but I also like my personality, dude. Like I really just enjoy my personality. And the ability to see somebody in a situation and be able to provide them an opportunity that could change their life for the better. It's just it's so crazy because I don't know where I would be if I didn't find my recruiter. You know what I mean? Or if my recruiter didn't find me. So I completely agree with you. You know what I mean? Like I completely agree with you.
Oh yeah, we could have a whole episode just talking about recruiting
You
and
know what I
how
mean?
like it could change somebody's life. It really can.
100%.
And yeah, my recruiter, I'll give him a big shout out right now, but he's awesome. A big family man, a big somebody like who had the greatest influence who I look up to this day. And I've looked up to him since I was 17 years old. So yes.
Now, speaking of influence, I got a chance to read your article recently, and I want to say congratulations,
Thank
just
you.
one, congratulations just on the fact that, first and foremost, I just really want to applaud you for the amount of transparency that you have displayed within this entire year. I
Thank
know that
you.
this year has definitely been a rough year,
No.
and I really want to just take a moment and just say, like, I truly appreciate the level of transparency that you have displayed, And if you don't mind, like I would just, if you don't mind sharing with us just what this year was like for you and what you have been through and what you have overcome.
Yes, no, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on it. So in January of 2023, this year, I was sent to an eating disorder treatment facility. It's called the Center for Discovery. I went to the Alexandria, Virginia, location, and like a little rewind, I was diagnosed with bulimia nervosa, which is an eating disorder. And I was diagnosed in 20 November of 2021. Now, when I tell you I went through therapy, I saw a dietitianist and nutritionist, and I did my best. I really did. I try to give myself credit for that. I did my best to treat it on my own. And it got to a point, I was active duty, obviously still active duty, but it got to the point where I needed help. And my therapist, my medical team, what happened is I went to behavioral health and I honestly didn't even know I had an eating disorder. And it was kind of like a wake-up call for me because it just came out when I was having therapy about something completely different. And I think my therapist, she just like jotted that down. And when we were done talking, when I was done processing like the things that I went through a couple of years back, we started touching base on like my disordered eating and my habits and the things that I was doing. I do want to give a trigger warning because this is very like you know, it is an eating disorder and it is talking about things that could be triggering to some people, but no, I struggle with disordered eating. I struggled with my weight. I struggled with bulimia, is self-induced vomiting. So I would binge and then I would vomit, and I would do that consistently to the point where I had to go to a 4-month treatment program for it. So I went to a partial hospitalization program and it was completely PTAB, so I didn't get like charged any leave or anything. My command was very supportive about it, you know, which I'm so grateful for, because I've been in commands where that is not a support, that is not a support thing that they have. And it's sad, but I know it's relevant. But where I'm at, I got the help that I needed. I went to this eating disorder treatment and I was there for about 4 months before I turned outpatient. And working outpatient, I am still currently in active recovery. It's not something that just heals on your own, but it's something that I'm managing to this day. And I will always like be diagnosed with an eating disorder. But I wrote an article with healthywomen.org in order to try to reach younger women. But I also know it's not just women that struggle with eating disorders. It's also men too. And that's not very talked about probably as often as it should be. But eating disorders don't discriminate. You know, they don't discriminate in gender. They don't discriminate in race. Like, it's there. It's relevant. And I think it needs to be talked more on, honestly, especially in the military. It's just way more common than we think. That's what I've been chasing.
No, and I completely agree. Now, first and foremost, I just really want to applaud you just for sharing that with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I feel like one of my first questions is that this is something that we don't talk enough about. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you look at the military and you talk about like the BCP program or RCP program, where you see, you know, we're used to seeing Marines overweight, or you hear the horror stories essentially of Marines going to the gym and working out or trying to take laxatives or wearing the sweatsuits or you essentially, but how common is it, you know, for someone, especially in the military, to have an eating disorder?
Oh yeah, no. So the National Eating Disorder Association, which I encourage people to review and look up, they have our blog that was published, and they did a survey of like 3,000 service members. 3,000 service members, right? All different branches. It's not just the Marine Corps. But over 97% of the Marine Corps participants met the criteria for having an eating disorder. Yes. And I'm going to send you that link. I'm going to send you that article, because I am quoting that, okay? 97% met the criteria. They weren't diagnosed, but they met criteria that met an eating disorder. And it's just insane, because I didn't even realize like the little things that I was doing when I joined the Marine Corps. Like, I was at my lowest weight, but I was already bonding with the females in my unit about what laxative works best. Hey, this is where you go get your sauna suit. This is where you're going to do cardio this, drink chicken broth, don't touch this, you know. And like, this is just standard
procedure.
Oh, there's procedure.
A science to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. And like, and I'm sure to this day, like, some women and men still practice this, because this is what I was taught, you know?
Yeah.
I was taught to fear the scale. And like, it's just mind-blowing now. And I look back, and that's why I think like I'm so open about talking about it now, because like, if I could just reach one person to stop them from doing the practices that I did, because it led me to a point where I had to get medical help for it, you know? And like, we don't realize how like damaging it is mentally, how damaging it is physically, and like, until it catches up to you, which is what happened with me. But I was like a PFC, Lance Corporal, and like, I don't think it was as bad as it turned to be, because after I had kids, that's where I really struggled in the Marine Corps, was to lose like the baby weight. And, you know, I'm I see that the Marine Corps has paid more attention to that, honestly, because they've granted like a longer postpartum time, which is amazing. But like when I was going through my postpartum time, like it was very pressed on me, you know, like we come back from having kids and we're not going to fit into our uniforms immediately, you know, but the perception, and to this day, I still struggle with this. But the perception is that we must look our best self in our uniform, you know, and I can be very, I'll be honest, like I get really insecure in my uniform. Even when I was about, when I was leaving the treatment center, I was talking to my therapist. I was like, I am terrified. Like, I'm terrified to go back because I know I have put on some weight, but it's healthy weight because I am healing from, you know, participating in all these poor, like, just eating disorder habits and stuff. And, you know, I gained some healthy weight and, like, but at the time I was so scared to go back. And I remember telling my therapist, like, you guys don't understand, like, it's a different environment where I'm going. I'm going back to, and I'm leaving a treatment facility and going back to an environment where the mindset from my peers and other people is they
very
don't
judgmental.
Very, yeah, and not even that, but like they don't know why I was gone for 4 months, you know. And it's not that I have to explain myself to them; I shouldn't have to, but it's just. I was so scared of what people were going to think of me. Like, oh, like, I don't know how my uniform is going to fit. In fact, like, I didn't try it on for 4 months. I put it away because I didn't want to be Staff Sergeant Pierre when I was at treatment. I just wanted to be Cassie. And, like, I just wanted to be able to talk and heal from things that were causing, like, my eating disorder. You know what I mean? And so I put 100%. My uniform away during that time. I tried to be like open. I started journaling about my experience there, and it was very, it was peaceful, honestly. And it gave me a time to just like collect myself and surround myself with like-minded individuals who could support me, you know? And it was a great, like I had a great experience there. It was hard. It was very hard mentally. It was challenging. But it pushed me to be better, to be stronger, so that when I left, like I no longer was thinking the same way. So like their mindset there is like you go to this, you step into the treatment facility, right? So what I did was a partial hospitalization program. It was 8 hours a day. So I wasn't able to do the residential program because I'm a single mom. I needed to go back to my baby that night. So I was like, that was kind of out of the question for me. So I worked with my treatment team, worked with me, and they gave me the partial hospitalization program, which was great. So I did 8 hours a day, every single day. And I did that for about 4 months. But the process is like you go, you step into the facility, and their whole idea is to rewire your brain, to rewire the way you think about food, to rewire the way you think about your body image. Like, we would have group therapies. Almost everything was group therapy, but I was assigned a therapist that I would see twice a week, my own therapist. And I was also assigned a registered dietitian who specializes in eating disorders. And I was assigned her. She was great. But we would have like group therapy throughout the day, and it ranged from like DBT, like cognitive therapy. It ranged to even learning about neuroscience. We had a neuroscience group that would teach us about how eating disorders like affect your brain in the way that you think.
I think the wild part is that, you know, you, until I met you, I didn't even know that this program was even available. There was something even like this. Yes. I also honestly like, and I feel like this is also just my ignorance to it, you know, overall.
Yeah.
Especially like just being in the military and just overall just not really understanding eating disorders. But when I think of eating disorders, you always see the, well, especially when you hear bulimic, it's like this real super skinny person. You know what I'm talking about? Like you can see their ribs, and it's just like, that's the first image that comes to mind. And I think it's such this big misconception. But when you really peel back the layers, especially in the military, dude, like how judgmental we really are yes. towards each other. And how, and I hate to say it, man, like I hate to say it, and I mean, obviously I've grown now, but Sergeant Thigpen just really never had any remorse for any of the Marines on mm-hmm. BCP. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I never did, you know, and our friendship, your story, being, you know, like talking to you while you were, you know, going through it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we stayed in contact that entire time.
And mm-hmm. it made me look at other Marines differently, especially that were dealing with that, you know what I mean? Because it was yeah. like, damn, man, like, I wonder if that person right there is dealing with an eating disorder. But then exactly. another question came to mind was like, how did it get to this point? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because from the conversations that we had prior to you even joining, like, you used to ice skate. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you were actually yeah. like a, you know what I mean? Like, you were
I'm surprised you remember that. Yeah.
Come on now. Like, you know, like, yeah. you were a very active person. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I mean, like, granted, like, you know, I'll tear you up on the ice, but I mean, like, that's beside the point. You know, like, that's beside the point. But mm-hmm. you were very active. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But yeah.
Obviously. Even. Like, oh, go ahead. No, please.
Oh, sorry. No, like, even in the Marine Corps, like, I was, not to sound egotistic or anything, but I was at the top of my game. Like, yeah. when I joined the Marine Corps, like, I was at the top of my damn game. Like, I was, like, meritoriously promoted, and I was winning all these boards, and that was, like, I was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm the shit. Like, you're I am on fire. Shit, yeah. yeah, like, this is who I am. Like, I am going to be a Marine. Like, I'm going to be first single sergeant in the Marine Corps. Like, that was my mindset. Like, I'm going to retire. I'm going to do 20 years. I'm mm-hmm. made for this, you know? That was my mindset, and I won Marine of the Year from the second month in 2015.
I remember you telling me that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of my biggest accomplishments that I had, and I just remember, like, nothing can stop me, you know what I mean? And man, I look back and I'm like, damn, yeah, I was that.
I remember seeing your picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, know. Like, 2015, like, because mm-hmm. I was on the East Coast, and mm-hmm. I remember seeing that picture. Yeah.
That is so crazy, right? Yeah. So, like, I wouldn't change nothing if I think about it. Like, I saw this quote the other day that honestly, like, changed my whole mindset, and it was, like, if you went back in time to erase, like, every mistake you made, you would be erasing yourself.
No.
You'd be erasing, like, who you are today. And I was just like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I know I did great things back in the day for the Corps, and I am eternally grateful because it made me the leader who I am today. But I wouldn't change nothing because, like, I was meant to be a mom. I am so, like, that is one of my biggest blessings, and I take extreme pride in that. But, like, who I am now, one, I'm getting ready to transition out of the Marine Corps, but, like, how I can make a difference to Marines to this day is still, like, that is my main goal. If I could reach one person, if one person listens to this episode, if one person, like, sees what I post on social media, like, if one person talks to me in person and I touch them and I make a difference and they remember this conversation, like, I'm good. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, I made a difference today.
You know, I think one of the biggest things that I would like to ask, and, you know, just please let me know if I've overreached, but dealing with battling an eating disorder, how did it affect your view of yourself? And since receiving treatment and finding steps to be able to deal with it, how have you been able to essentially, how has that affected your view of yourself, and how have you relearned to see yourself differently? I hope I made sense with that question.
Yeah, no, it did make sense. I'm going to answer the first part, but you're going to have to remind me of the second question because mm-hmm. I know I'm going to lose track of that. So battling my eating disorder, like I said, I didn't really know I had an eating disorder. And it sounds so, like, naive, but it's so true. Like, I think because it's so common in the military, It's like we're almost trauma bonded to like things that we go through, that we don't actually see from the outside looking in. Oh, wow, that's very toxic and unhealthy. You know what I mean? But like when I was battling an eating disorder, I look back and I'm just like, why was I so damn hard on myself? Like, I hated how I looked. I struggled with insecurity. I judged myself for everything. Body image was huge. I would take, I remember I made a video on this. I think I shared it with you before I even posted it.
I remember.
But I made this. Yeah. I was like, tell me what you think before I post this. Because I didn't want to like, you know, I just wanted to make sure it aligned with who I am. But I would take photos of my body. I would go to the gym, but I wouldn't, when I went to the gym, I was going to the gym for the purpose of being thin. You know what I mean? Like, by now, like, if I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to just feel good. You know, I want to boost my endorphin. I want to get strong. You know what I mean? I want to be able to push this weight. And not like, I wasn't thinking like that then. Like, back then, like, as a Marine, like, I just wanted to be thin. I just wanted to look the part, you know? And, I just was so hard on myself and, like, critical. And I remember thinking, and even, like, to this day, I try to, like, help change, like, the little perspectives of how leaders or even, like, peers see their own peers. But, like, if I had to go on BCP, I would have, if that makes sense. Because not that I wasn't a fat body, you know, how we use that term, like, they're a piece of shit. Like, they look so shitty in uniform, blah, blah, blah. And like, and how we went back and we were talking about, you never know what that Marine's going through, you know? And I would have let myself go on BCP. And I'm like, I tell Marines, like, if you're one, there is a healthy way to lose weight. That is possible. You don't need to do it disorderly. You know what I mean? But losing healthy weight takes time. And it's not an overnight thing. It's not even going to happen in like 2 weeks. You're not going to drop all this weight. You know what I mean? So like, I will say, like, it does take work and it does take discipline. I'm not saying it excuses. Like, I'm not excusing anybody for, you know, like, there's a right way to do things. But I was doing things the wrong way for a very long time, where I could have been taught, well, I'll say that keyword, I could have been taught early on the right way to do things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, Pierre, like, it's not going to be easy, but this is what you got to do. You know what I mean? Like, here's the people that you can go talk to. Like, for example, does anybody freaking know that NCCS, like, has a dietitian, nutritionist at the gyms, and like, they're just free for anybody, free for active duty service members, and you could just go there and sit down with them, and like, they can create a whole meal plan for you. They could create like, and even if you don't want to do macros, you know, like, they can create portion controls for you. And like, people just don't, I just feel like people don't really know that, you know, that that's there for you. And like, there's personal trainers on base, and I think people think like, oh, like, I don't need that. I don't need that until like time's crunching. And then they're like, oh, I need that, you know? Yeah. And that's when we result to like these unhealthy disorder eatings, because that's what I did. You know what I mean? But like, man, if I was taught like, this is what is available for you, which is what I try to show Marines now, like, these are the resources that are there for you. And with like gaining weight and losing weight, I know for a fact for me, it was very connected to my mental health. So I believe firmly that like, when you touch base with yourself and like, you're being honest with yourself and you're seeking like therapy, you're talking to people and you're not holding things in. You know, there's a healthy way to move about life, and there's a healthy way to meet your goals. And I just like, I would have changed that immediately, you know?
You know, if you don't mind me asking, you know, I always sit back and I talk about like the physical appearance and everything, but how did this affect your mental health?
Oh, man, like, I have my eating disorder connected to depression. I think my eating disorder, what happened was I was thinking so negatively all the time. right? Yeah. And just being so hard on myself. And I remember, like, I would make weight from doing excessive cardio. I'm talking, like, I would do cardio twice a day in a sauna too, you know, trying to drench the water weight, sit in a sauna afterwards, drink nothing but, like, beef broth and chicken broth and, like, be miserable. I know, nasty. Like, but I would be miserable and it would affect me. And I would just be like, okay, like, I just got to make it through. And meanwhile, I'm, like, walking like a zombie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know what I would do after I made weight? I would binge. Man, I would go celebrate. I would be like, fuck yes, I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm about to order everything. Matter of fact, I'm going to go right here through the drive-thru because I earned it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I earned that. But, like, bruh, like, there's a way to eat and there's a way to, like, exercise where you're not. And that's what I learned in treatment is, like, food isn't bad. You know what I mean? Like, there's, granted, you know, there's, like, healthy food and junk food and stuff like that. But, like, I know now how to, like, if I'm, like, doing these things and, like, living my life and I want to go and enjoy a donut, I'm going to go eat a donut.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to enjoy that donut and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. Now, am I, like, eating it? No, and I'm not doing that. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm eating in proportionate. And I, like, it's just, I think about it, like, from a parent perspective, too, is, like, and this is another, like, thing that pushed me to get help was my kids, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how am I teaching my kids to eat? How am I teaching them, like, what healthy eating habits are? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it just changed my whole perspective now.
I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. All right. So as we come to a close to this episode, Cassie, you know, one of the biggest questions that I have is that if you can give out any advice, what advice would that be?
That's such a hard question because there can be so many things, right? So you just mean like in general, like any piece of advice that I would give somebody.
It could be niched down. It could be anything. Like, matter of fact,
yeah.
I even say this. If you can go back in time and give yourself, so Cassandra Pierre, if you can give her advice, what would it be?
My piece of advice would be give myself grace. Excuse me.
Oh, no.
Give myself grace and allow myself to feel emotion. I think that's one thing that I wouldn't do is I would not talk about what was hurting me. And I wouldn't want to feel it. And I would run away from it because I wanted to be tough and I wanted to be hard. And I wanted to be the one that was like, nothing could get in my way. But then what was happening, it was just like piling on, you know what I mean? Instead of giving myself the opportunity to feel the emotion, feel it, go through it, you know what I mean?
No,
and look 100%. For the light at the end of the tunnel, you know? And then learn from that experience. And that's how you progress in life, you know? And that's how you have experiences and wisdom. And you can pass that down to other people and share it. And you'd be surprised the people you'd be able to connect to.
100%. I love that. I love that for you. But with that being said, you know, we come to a close to this episode. You know, where can we find you at? I know you're big on social media.
I guess. I don't even see it like that. It's humbling. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm on Instagram, cass.pierre. So it's CASS dot.
I'll put it in the show notes.
ERR. No E at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like that, another extraordinary thought left this ordinary mind. I hope you enjoyed this episode half as much as I enjoyed making it. Don't forget to head on over to your favorite streaming platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, and leave this podcast an honest review because this podcast deserves to grow just as much as we do. Also, don't forget to head on over to TikTok or Instagram and follow me at Meech Speaks. That's right, Meech Speaks. Meech is spelled M-E-E-C-H. Stay motivated, stay healthy. I'm out.